Good morning. Welcome to University Church. My name is Barbara Fout. I'm a member here, and I'm here to welcome you. And it's especially good to see people because I don't know about you, but I missed everybody last week. So welcome. Whatever brings you here, whether it be custom, whether it be crisis, whether it be curiosity, please know that you are welcome here, and we hope you feel God's love and presence in this space. I'm part of the welcome team, and there's a couple other ones around, and I'm going to dig out. We have a welcome brochure. We've had so many visitors, we're almost out of them. I had to scrounge for them, but make sure you find me, and I will give you one of the last ones of these that tells you about all the ministries and mission things that we do in this place and out of these doors. You'll also find in your bulletin a yellow slip. Whether you're a first-timer or a thousandth-timer, we would love to know that you are here and have some contact information for you. On the flip side is an option for you to write a prayer request. So those can be read later during the service, unless you say you don't want them. If you do have a prayer request, the ushers will collect those. If you don't, just hang on to the yellow slip and then drop it in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. We do have the bulletin, which I hope you've gotten. If you haven't, just slip in the back and one of the ushers will give you one. But most everything you need will be on the screens today. There are restrooms this way and childcare. We have a gathering room after church. Come gather with us. And we served only 65 this morning for our breakfast, so Stark tells me there are a few leftovers. If you would like a takeout of grits or a takeout of pancakes, those will be in the gathering room afterwards. I would remind you also that we have a safe sanctuary policy, so children should be accompanied at all times in the building with an adult. Let me tell you about a couple of opportunities for Christian service. Who knows who's going to be speaking at the Dome tonight? Trevor Noah, the Daily Show host. So if you have told Pastor Alicia or the office that you wanted tickets, we have them for you, and you need to get a ticket so you can get in tonight. So please see Pastor Alicia here, and she would love to take a check from you that's written out to University Church for those tickets. Secondly, and that's tonight at the Dome at 7. Secondly, I would like to remind you about getting UUMC t-shirts if you want some branding and to advertise the church. They are going to be for order in the gathering room again after the worship service, and the deadline is coming up quickly. And then third, it's a new year, and sometimes we make new resolutions and all. We have lots of opportunities for mission and ministry. And on the back side, you'll see a little note that says volunteers needed. And it might be that God is just knocking a little bit at your heart with something that you could do that's on that list, or something else you come up with that you would like to give your gifts and talents. So I would encourage you to take a look at those. And there's many other things in the bulletin that I won't take time to go through, but I hope you'll take it home and read it. And now let us continue with our worship.
Good morning. I am Pastor Alicia Wood. I am the pastor here at University Church, and I am honored to say that I am the pastor. And I'd like to send out a warm welcome to each and every one of you here today. I'm so glad you're here. We spend too much time being driven rather than drawn in. We focus on what we should do rather than what we feel excited and compelled to do in our lives, in this world. During this worship series, we will connect with our inherent creativity and nurture this foundational aspect of being human, giving us renewed energy for passionate work, delightful play, and creative problem solving to make this world a better place for all. Listen as a choir introduces us to our theme song for this worship series.
All creation began with the dream of God, the will and intention for life to exist in the void. All of our actions are born out of desire, out of a dream and vision for the future. This is our birthright, to imagine and to create. What brings you alive? What truly moves your soul in the deepest way? What you create out of that answer is your greatest gift to the world and the way in which you are part of God's unfolding and ongoing creative dream. At University Church, our Martin Luther King Day celebration tends to follow the weekend of the Martin Luther King celebration at the Dome, which is today. It is so appropriate that on this day, the theme of our worship is dream, just as Dr. King had a dream. So please stand in body or spirit and join me in the unison call to worship, and let us pray together. Creating God, you called forth all that exists in a moment of divine brilliance. Open us again to that spark which you ignited in each of us at our creation, so that we might generate more life-giving energy in this world. Draw us into your story of hope. Give us the courage to dream. Amen. Martin Luther King Jr. told us that we must accept finite disappointment, but never lose infinite hope. May we be drawn into God's story of hope for our city and our world. Please remain standing and join me in singing hymn number 150, God Who Stretched the Spangled Heavens. Please be seated. What holds us back from the joy of our creativity? Social activist Dorothy Day said, "God is our creator. God made us in God's image and likeness. Therefore, we are creators. The joy of creativeness should be ours." Sometimes what holds us back is not believing that we are a child of God. Many of us think, oh, I'm not that creative. Hear the good news. Know that you are creative simply because you were created by God. Your creativity may be typically artistic, like writing or painting, but it could also be something like baking, fixing the car, playing with the kids, decorating the home, making someone smile, or the things you do in your work. What do you like to make in this world? As our passing the peace and greeting time today, I invite you to stand and greet your neighbor and find out what they like to create. When you hear the music, it's time to return to your seats.
Will the children please join me? And as they come forward, we can begin our song. Good morning, children. If we have any kids at heart that would like to come forward, you're welcome to join Jim and I. So we will begin. Are you ready for this, Jim?
Yes.
So we are going to be creating in worship for the next few weeks. So today I'm going to read a story. Oh, good, another kid. A kid at heart. We grow them big. Yes, we do. Thanks, Dark. So we're going to read a book. It's called The Dot. And then we'll say a prayer. And then we're going to create something out of what we have up here. They don't know what it is yet. And out of some fingerprints or dots. And I'm going to actually ask you to bring, if you want to do this, you don't have to, but if you want to, I'm going to have you go down at the table down there and work, not yet, at the very end. All right, so let's read our book together. Now, if you can't see the pictures up here, I have them on the screen as well, okay? So this is The Dot by Peter Reynolds. Art class was over, but Vashti sat glued to her chair. Her paper was empty. Vashti's teacher leaned over the blank paper. "Ah, a polar bear in a snowstorm," she said. "Very funny," said Vashti. "I just can't draw." Her teacher smiled. "Just make a mark and see where it takes you." Vashti grabbed a marker and gave the paper a good strong jab. There. Her teacher picked up the paper and studied it carefully. She pushed the paper toward Vashti and quietly said, "Now sign it." Vashti thought for a moment. "Well, maybe I can't draw, but I can sign my name." The next week, when Vashti walked into art class, she was surprised to see what was hanging above her teacher's desk. It was the little dot she had drawn, her dot, all framed in swirly gold. "I can make a better dot than that." She opened her never-before-used set of watercolors and set to work. Vashti painted and painted a red dot, a purple dot, a yellow dot, a blue dot. The blue mixed with the yellow. She discovered she could make a green dot. Vashti kept experimenting, lots of little dots in many colors. "If I can make little dots, I can make big dots, too." Vashti splashed her colors with a bigger brush on bigger paper to make bigger dots. Vashti even made a dot by not painting a dot. At the school art show a few weeks later, Vashti's many dots made quite a splash. Vashti noticed the little boy gazing up at her. "You're a really good artist. I wish I could draw," he said. "I bet you can," said Vashti. "Me? Not me. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler." Vashti smiled. She handed the boy a blank sheet of paper. "Show me." The boy's pencil shook as he drew his line. Vashti stared at the boy's squiggle, and then she said, "Please sign it." The end. Do you kids want to come up here? You can. Do you want to join the big kids? I'll move. So, we're going to be talking about, or we're going to be creating something out of dots. And how about, Jeff, can you move into a big chair behind so that we can have the kids sit in the kids' chairs? So on here, behind plastic bag, are fingerprints or dots. And you all are going to be able to take these and go down to that table, and what I'd like you to do is dream up what might be on those dots. What could you create with the dots? Open them up. What do you see? Is there anything that you see as you look at them? Do you see anything in the dots that you could create? What do you think? I'll get you another one. A turtle? You see a turtle? Yep. So I have this book that can kind of get us thinking. You see how they have this has some ideas? So I'm going to let you guys take this down there too, okay? So, do you have any thoughts about this book? I forgot my microphone, so I'm going to repeat you. What do you think about the teacher saying, "Sign it for a dot"? I bet that made the Vashti feel good, huh? And then she was able to do that for another child and teach another child to be creative. Okay, so let's close with prayer, and then I'll have you go down and create. Now, I'm going to ask if you're okay with it to leave your papers with me, or you can just leave them on the table, because I think that our congregation would love to see what you create out of these dots, okay? So if you don't mind keeping them here, you can take them at the end, because we want you to sign your name, of course. But if you don't mind, if you could leave them here for a week, we'd be grateful. All right? Okay. So will you pray with me? We make belief that God is playing and creating through people in all places, and God plays and creates with us too. Let all God's children say, "Thanks be to God." Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, thank you for talking with me today and coming up. If you don't mind, you can sit there, and then when you're done with your craft or your creating, you can go sit with the family who brought you, okay?
Thank you, choir. Last week, we read about Jesus' baptism. Today's scripture from the fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel takes place as Jesus begins his ministry after the baptism and after Jesus spent 40 days facing temptation in the wilderness. Hear these words. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. Jesus went to Nazareth, where he had been raised. On the Sabbath, he went to the synagogue, as he normally did, and stood up to read. The synagogue assistant gave him the scroll from the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the synagogue assistant, and sat down. Every eye in the synagogue was fixed on him. He began to explain to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it." This is the word of God for the people of God. And now please stand in body or spirit as we sing hymn number 519, "Lift Every Voice and Sing," which has become known as the Black National Anthem. The words are a poem written by James Weldon Johnson in 1900 and set to music by his brother John Rosamond Johnson in 1905.
Thank you.
seated. What does it mean for God's kingdom, a place where all are kin or family, to come on earth as it is in heaven? We asked some folks at our Friday community how this church has affected their lives. This was one of the responses.
I really like this church because it helps me with volunteering, and even though I get my food here, I also try to help out. And the people are wonderful here, and especially Julius and the other guys. And I'm so glad I was able to help Robert with getting a brand new jacket for him because his was in shreds, and he's an excellent volunteer. And I liked that when I was able to make it for Sunday breakfast because the breakfasts are awesome, and people are wonderful, and the pastor's nice.
This church and this congregation are changing lives. Thank you for all you do to share God's love in Syracuse. We will continue to ask folks how this church has affected their lives. And don't worry, because you might be next to be asked. Our scripture from Luke today is pretty amazing. It shares with us the power and authority of Jesus. This is one of the rare times Jesus is so bold to say, today this scripture has been fulfilled just as you heard it. And that seems to be what we focus on in this scripture, Jesus' authority and power. I think we may be missing the mark to not fully be paying attention to the passage that Jesus read and then proclaimed, fulfilled. Jesus read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me to preach good news to the poor, proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Five things. This is just the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This passage is like a roadmap or a to-do list of Jesus' ministry. With all his authority, Jesus is telling us, Christ followers, our focus in ministry, our purpose. He is giving us our to-do list. Jesus was creative in his ministry. He used story to teach us how to live in a kind and compassionate way. He walked on water. He raised the dead. He ate with unlikely characters. He talked to women. He even healed on the Sabbath. All these things are creative and out of the box. During this series, we will be exploring creativity for a couple of reasons. First, Jesus was creative in bringing his message of hope and healing. From the beginning, God gave us the freedom to be creative. And as a congregation, we are at a crossroads. A very exciting crossroad. It's time for us to be creative. You might be wondering why we have a children's table and an easel as our focus today. Well, here's why. Children are creative. They are uninhibited in their creativity, and I am hoping we can learn from our children how to rekindle our creativity. Creative without our own stuff holding us back. Today, the children are creating something out of a simple dot. Almost something out of nothing. And I can't wait to see what they dream up. Sometimes, as adults, we prejudge our own creativity and forget how to dream. So I thought I'd share with you a poem by Martha Graham. And the poem is entitled, "There is Vitality." There is vitality, a life force, an energy, a quickening that is translated through you into action. And because there is only one of you in all of time, this expression is unique. And if you block it, the world will not have it. It is not your business to determine how good it is, nor how valuable, nor how it compares to other expressions. It is your business to keep it yours clearly and directly, to keep the channel open, whether you choose to take an art class, keep a journal, record your dreams, dance your story, or live each day from your own creative source. Above all else, keep the channel open. We were made to be creative. We were made to be creative in our ministry as we boldly step into this crossroad. I'd like us to dream of creative ways we may serve the people of our city. I wonder, what is God calling us to do next? How many more lives might be changed because of this church, and all of you, this congregation? How has our text informed us of the answers? Well, let's look at our to-do list again. Our first one, preach the good news to the poor. Our second on the to-do list, proclaim release to prisoners. Now, we might think that means people in jail, and it does. But it also means people who are locked in cages within themselves, trying to get out and be who they are, who haven't quite gotten to know God yet, and let them be released from their pain and suffering. Number three, recovery of sight to the blind. Again, we're not looking at this differently abled in a negative way. We're talking about people who are blind to kindness and compassion, and who need to learn these things so that they might be a part of the common good of God's kingdom. Number four, liberate the oppressed. Number five, proclaim the year of the Lord, which means the year of Jubilee and restoration. Jesus was bold in his proclamation. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled. Let us be bold in our ministry as Jesus instructed us to do. As Martin Luther King Jr. once said, we have before us the glorious opportunity to inject a new dimension of love into the veins of our civilization. Amen.
Once we have heard the call to creativity, we just have to do it. Just jump in to get our hands dirty in the work of play and creative problem solving. We pray and offer what we can to bring more life and joy this day and every day. Now, if you are comfortable doing so, please close your eyes for just a moment so that you can do some visualizing. Breathe in slowly and slowly let your breath out. And again, in and out. Now try to imagine that your stresses, your anxieties, your deadlines are rolling off your head, down your shoulders, down your arms, and falling away to the floor. See a blue sky above you, an incredible sunny blue sky day. When you think of the sky's the limit, what do you imagine? What would you do if you could dream up anything for this town, this world, this community? Take a moment to write something on the blank piece of colored paper in your bulletin. It can be a word, a phrase, or whole sentences expressing a desire, a dream you want to help create if you could. You can put your name on it or not. We will collect these at our offering time to use in imagining our future as a church family. And now, if you've finished writing, please join me in singing our call to prayer, I Dream of a Church. The ushers will collect your yellow prayer request slips to be read aloud as we sing.
Some prayers are spoken and others still unspoken are weighing on our hearts today. God, we bring them all to you, knowing that you indeed fill us when we open our hearts to you. God, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
We will have a period of silent prayer, followed by a spoken prayer, and finally the Lord's Prayer. Please speak the Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Our spoken prayer this morning will be taken from the end of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, Some Things We Must Do, and it has been paraphrased to make it more inclusive. And now, as we begin a time of silent prayer, get comfortable in your seat. Breathe in and allow the Holy Spirit to fill your consciousness as you open your heart to God. Let us pray. God, grant that right here in America and all over this world, we will choose the highway, a way in which people will live together as brothers and sisters, a way in which the nations of the world will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. A way in which every person will respect the dignity and worth of all human personality. A way in which every nation will allow justice to run down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. A way in which men and women will do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. A way in which all people will be able to stand up and in the midst of oppression, in the midst of darkness and agony, they will be able to stand there and love their enemies, bless those persons that curse them, pray for those individuals that despitefully use them. And this is the way that will bring us once more into that society which we think of as the brotherhood and sisterhood of humankind. This will be the day when white people, colored people, whether they are brown or whether they are yellow or whether they are black, will join together and stretch out their arms and be able to cry out, free at last, great God Almighty, we are free at last. Amen. And now please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us. Creator God, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Committed Christians have been serving this community at this place for 150 years. You are now a part of this living tradition. Giving is a way that we recognize the source of all that we have and a way that we build toward Jesus' vision of a peaceable kingdom for all God's people. Don't forget to put your yellow attendance slips in the offering plate and your dream up papers, also the colored papers, in the plate as the ushers collect the offering and the choir sings Adoramus Te Christi. Please be seated. Our prayer of dedication today is a litany based on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s letter from the Birmingham jail. We remember the conviction of Martin Luther King Jr. that freedom is never voluntarily given by the oppressor. It must be demanded from the oppressed. We remember Martin's warning that a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, is less than a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. We remember Martin's insight that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. We remember Martin's lament that the contemporary church is often a weak, ineffectual voice with an uncertain sound. It is so often the arch supporter of the status quo. Far from being disturbed by the presence of the church, the power structure of the average community is consoled by the church's silent and often vocal sanction of things as they are. We remember Martin's hope that dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some not-too-distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all their scintillating beauty. Therefore, in faith, let us commend ourselves and our work for justice to the goodness of Almighty God. Amen. Please stand now in body or spirit and join me in singing our closing hymn, Loving Spirit.
So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremist will we be? Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice? Go now in peace, doing justice, loving kindness, and walking humbly with our God. Amen.